Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Data Science with Sam, the podcast where we explore how emerging technologies are reshaping our daily lives. I'm your host, Sam, and today we are diving deep into a fascinating conversation about how artificial intelligence kind of like change a different perspective from a creative consumers. Before we begin, please note that the views expressed in this podcast our personal experiences and opinions. The capabilities and limitations of AI tools mentioned may vary, and we encourage listeners to conduct their own research and verify information independently. Today's guest is a retired business development director who discovered an unexpected creative ally in artificial intelligence. From crafting speeches to generating songs, their journey showcases the transformative potential of AI in creative pursuit. Hi, Mark. Welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me, Sam. I'm extremely enthusiastic towards continued use of AI, and I'm happy to share that enthusiasm with your audience.
Before we begin, would you like to tell a little bit about your professional journey? And what have you done in your professional career throughout your long tenured?
So with regards my initial use of AI, I think that's your question, right?
Yeah, just a regular introduction. Yeah.
Oh, okay. In terms of a brief introduction, I'm a chemical engineer with an MBA, 40 plus years of professional experience. I'm also the president of the Talking Heads Toastmasters Club in Houston, and I'm the Sam is a fellow Illinois alum. He's very proud of his Illinois education, and as I am of mine, and I've been involved in the alumni club throughout. So.
And just for listeners, I got introduced to Marco as a part of our Houston Alumni Club. If somebody from Houston area are like Elena alumni, I would definitely encourage them to go check out and be engaged with the Houston Alumni Club because they're doing a lot of fascinating work in that area.
Well, thanks for saying that, Sam. And yeah, and for yourself as well, wherever you've moved from Houston, you can share that with your audience or not. That's your decision. But I strongly encourage all Illinois alum to connect with their local University of Illinois Alumni Association chapter and to connect. It's great networking and also a lot of fun.
So. Thanks, Mark. So let's start at the beginning. Tell us about your first encounter with generative AI tools. I mean, how do you come across all this AI sensational stuff that you started doing probably a few years back?
Yeah, good question. So my eyes were first opened to the power of AI in my former, my recently retired role as director of business development for a large industrial gas company. And in that context, my company had very early on obtained a license to OpenAI ChatGPT in one of its earliest versions that were made available to the corporations, including mine. And I began using it truly as a total experiment, not knowing what its capabilities or limitations were. And I was extremely impressed. So much so that I created my own OpenAI ChatGPT account and began experimenting with it. And that's when I discovered some of the creative uses that I'll be chatting about in a few minutes.
Thank you. And I'm pretty sure a lot of my listeners could resonate to that experience of like, you know, stumble upon the generative AI tools in the first place, whether at their workplace or something they kind of like just found out while browsing through the internet. So now moving on, what was your first wow moment that made you realize the potential of this Gen AI technology?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, I'm president of the Talking Heads Toastmasters Club, and we do a lot of public speeches. And to write those speeches is normally a fairly time-consuming process. Because after all, a speech has to have a clearly defined introduction, the body of the speech containing three or more points, and then a conclusion with associated wrap-up. All of this typically takes me for a given speech, including preparation and rehearsal, maybe an hour and a half. And so what I instead began doing, my first wow moment with AI, was I would simply describe what I want to talk about to ChatGPT, and then tell it, I want to write a speech on this content. So it's just a free flow of knowledge pertinent to the topic. Sometimes very limited information, because ChatGPT is able to draw upon its own knowledge base. And then I ask ChatGPT then to write a speech for me. And it does. And of course, there are always tweaks. And by the way, as one caution with regards ChatGPT or any other generative AI tool, it is important to fact check and to confirm that the information is valid. So I do that. I typically find minimal rewrites as necessary. Some additions are typically required, but this is really just, and this is, by the way, completely appropriate. It would never be appropriate to just take an AI generated speech and then read it word for word. And that's not what I'm proposing. Instead, I take that draft body of the speech, and then I insert lines, delete a few, customize it, change a few phrases, and then I then go directly to the rehearsal phase. And it takes what previously was about an hour and a half for a 7 to 8 minute speech, and instead it becomes closer to 20 to 30 minutes including rehearsal time. So it's a significant time saver. And also, as another benefit besides the time savings, often ChatGPT will bring up suggestions to include in my speech that I had not anticipated, or without ChatGPT, I probably wouldn't have brought up that specific point. So it's in that sense broadened the content of what I talk about.
Yeah, no, thank you. And I love that way you kind of use the phrase, the fact check, because we definitely have to have our due diligence to make sure that whatever the ChatGPT or any LLM models are providing should be kind of like rigorously reviewed, because they could be wrong. There are certain instances I've seen that ChatGPT failed to provide like a perfect example or even solve a mathematical equations and stuff. And same with the content creation, like, you know, we have to do a fact check to make sure that the contents are tailored to what we are really want that ChatGPT to do. And so I love that you mentioned that how ChatGPT kind of like, you know, become a huge time saver in your process. Yeah. So now, since we're talking about content creation, so I guess you already touched upon that, but I still wanted to understand a little bit about if you can share a specific example where this Gen AI or ChatGPT tool made a significant impact from creative process standpoint.
Sure. And I have a lot of examples. So besides my Toastmasters role, I'm also the communications director of the club. And as such, it's quite common for individual members, and Sam, during your time in Houston, you were a great volunteer. Sam and others would notify me, often with very little notice, saying, Mark, I intend to do a game watch. I intend to do XYZ activity next Saturday. Please announce it on the website and the newsletter. And of course, I want graphical content. And in the case of the volunteer, they may or may not, they often do not supply me graphical content. And in the old days, I would just do the lazy thing. I would go to the applicable website, and I would copy and paste whatever clip art is found on their website. And that's okay. But much better, I found, is via use of ChatGPT's connection to DALL-E, which is the image creation tool. I use DALL-E to create Illinois-related imagery specific to the individual event. So using the example, which is a very common one, of a football or basketball game watch at a specific location, the imagery I will create will include a gender and race diverse population of Illinois alumni standing behind the coach of the University of Illinois team. And they will hold a sign saying, "Join us at XYZ location for the game watch." In other words, it's an attractive image because it shows through artificial intelligence the alumni population showing enthusiasm towards the event, much better than a stock image taken from the website. And there's another example which I have shared with family because it's so cool. And that is the creation of songs. And songs are in a variety of applications, but most specifically, they're either in the Toastmasters context or in the Illinois context, where I use ChatGPT to create rhyming lyrics. I then capture those rhyming lyrics and I put it into a very powerful generative AI tool that is specifically designed to create music. And it's called Suno, Suno AI. It's wonderful. So those are the two super creative applications that I've continued to use AI for.
Thank you. And thanks for sharing example of some of those toolkits that you're using to kind of like amplify your creative nature because of work. Because sometimes we do feel like that there are certain mundane tasks or there are certain routine tasks can be automatically transformed through an AI toolkits. And this is one of those examples where you can't you it's not only that AI can be applicable to an industry processes, but you can also apply AI to your personal life to make your life easier and streamline some of the things that we do outside of your workspace, like your volunteer activities at Houston Illini Club become more simplified after you start using all these AI tools. So thank you for sharing those examples. I'm pretty sure
Sure.
my listeners are taking note of these toolkits, and I'm pretty sure they will use those tools, try to augment their human intelligence to do more creative work for their purposes. Now, moving on, we talked a little bit about how AI is kind of impacting your creative task. What about certain technical tasks for which you've been using AI in the last couple of years? If you would like to share a few examples about that, that'd be great.
Sure. So, as I previously mentioned, formerly as director of business development for a large industrial gas company, with continuing contributions to the petrochemical product line, within my company, I used ChatGPT to query very specific information related to technologies which my company has or is considering developing, or which competitors might be. Now, by the way, in this specific context, it is very important before starting to use any of the AI tools, if for a professional reason tied to your employment, that you use a specific version of ChatGPT that is individually licensed for your company. And that is because your queries otherwise become part of the training database used by the AI, which may inadvertently to yourself be supplying valuable competitive information to your competitors. You would not want this. So, for this reason, the tools that I'm talking about using in the professional context are all supplied by my until recent employer. So that's example number one. Example number two, which is less concerning in terms of which exact AI I might be using, related to the University of Illinois Alumni Club of Houston as communications chair, I have a number of Google Apps spreadsheets which have associated intelligence tied to them. In other words, this is JavaScript type programming that automates and makes more intelligent the individual forms, input, or spreadsheet modifications. And I am a chemical engineer and I do have an MBA, but I am not a computer professional. Therefore, I need help in JavaScript and Google App Script. And I find ChatGPT and the other generative AI tools to be wonderful for helping me provide a code snippet, which I can then, with very limited time, extract that code snippet, plop it into my code, and then see it run much, much faster than what I formerly had done, which was I would go into Google, I would do a search, basically describing the type of programming I need, and it would lead me to a variety of websites, some of which might be helpful, most of which would be time waste. So this makes me much more productive, and I just basically am able to use that code snippet and directly find it to be helpful.
No, that's that's great to know about that, Mark, and thanks for sharing your experiences with the ChatGPT and how you are leveraging the tool to kind of like upgrade your programming skill set. Like, I think that's where we found like the most usefulness of the tool, that a person from a non-computer science background could also leverage some of these tools to write a script to make their process easier, especially in the industry world. And I'm glad that you touched upon that, the licensing of the software thing, because it's very important that even if you're using a tool like ChatGPT or any other LLM models, it's really important for any organization to kind of like, you know, license the tool or even like, you know, make it a proprietary just to safeguard their data from any outside like external vulnerabilities. So thanks for mentioning that. I'm pretty sure my listeners are taking a note of that. And I'm pretty sure some of their companies are offering them those tools, and they're doing proper like a due diligence to make sure that they're following all the data security and privacy regulations before using those tools. Now, moving on to the next thing, and it seems like you had a fascinating journey in dealing with all these AI, Gen AI tools. Now, I would like to ask you that, and I think that's mainly for my listeners, what advice would you give to someone just starting to explore Gen AI and tools? How would they start? I mean, just to kind of like, you know, piggyback on your previous experiences, what advice you would like to give to those people?
Sure. Well, the advice I would give for utilizing the power of AI is don't be intimidated by AI. It is a remarkably intuitive tool to use. And the key word in that sentence is use. Don't be intimidated, use it. So what do I mean by use it if you don't have the expertise to use it? Well, start with a simple project. In the range and complexities of capabilities that AI has, I'm sure you have some very simple concept. And go ahead and start with that. And don't anticipate that AI will solve your problem. Instead, think of it as a creative collaborator. So in that sense, if you imagine you have a collaborative friend, how would you utilize that collaborative friend? Probably you would share with the collaborative friend the idea that what you want to do, and then you let your creative collaborator friend provide guidance as to how to address that specific challenge or problem. And if you take that mental attitude with ChatGPT or the other generative AI tools, and just roll up your sleeves and try it. Worst case scenario, it will give you an answer that you don't expect or that does not answer what you're hoping for, but that's completely fine. In that case, you just tune your question to be more specific. This is called prompt engineering, is the fancy term for it, and it comes with practice. And basically, it's an input-output type format. And this, as with any tool, changing the input will change the output. So just think of it in that sense and give it a try, and you'll have fun along the way.
Love that. Especially, I love the term you use, creative collaborator. I think that's a key term for people to keep in mind before they start using ChatGPT. It's not like that ChatGPT is kind of their mentors, or they just blindly just rely on whatever ChatGPT is telling. It's more of like that collaboration that's going to make both the parties better. Like, you know, we learn more from ChatGPT and they can learn more from us by kind of like, you know, processing those smart or more sophisticated prompts that we're providing as an input to them. So thanks, Mark. Now, moving on to like, you know, a couple of questions before we wrap up this session. My first is that we talked about the huge potential of ChatGPT, and you started exploring it, and you've been kind of like a, I would say ChatGPT is kind of like part of your processes like for a long time. So based on your experience, do you see any sort of like a limitation that's going to hinder the progress of Gen AI for a, like a mass, like an access or like a mass production point of view?
Well, I do see certain limitations triggered primarily by the news media, which loves to focus on risks associated with AI. And many individuals who would frankly benefit hugely by using AI are not using it simply because they've heard some horror story. And there's a variety of horror stories, some of which, frankly, are also concerning for me because they tie to hallucinations. Most of the horror stories, however, revolve around the typical mistake of people using the artificial intelligence output without checking, and they directly use that output, and it turns out to be wrong. Possibly wrong because the prompted question was wrong, possibly wrong because, in fact, there was a hallucination by the AI. Unclear. But if there's any concern, it's number one, that people are not using it who would otherwise benefit. Number two concern associated with AI is the ethical concerns that do exist with using any generative AI tool. And frankly, with proper education and podcasts such as yours, Sam, that provides your audience a lot, a major benefit, because by becoming more educated with generative AI tools, they'll avoid the ethical concerns that could be triggered with use of generative AI.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. And yeah, it's imperative that in today's world, AI literacy is like a must thing, regardless of your area of expertise, regardless of your academic or professional background. We all need to kind of like lay our hands on these AI tools to try to understand how they react, because the purpose of AI is to augment human intelligence, and AI is also kind of like trying to mimic what human brain thinks sometimes. And it's not like that we are always perfect. It's not like that every time we communicate, we spit out correct information. And we can't expect the same from AI. So that's where the hallucination comes across. So we probably have to think AI as more of like that collaborator who can make mistakes. So we just have to be open-minded and think everything, you know, like just analyze everything judiciously to make sure that we are making our experience with Gen AI tools better than it used to be. So thanks, Mark. I'm going to wrap up this podcast episode by asking the final question. It's kind of related to the future vision. So where do you see these Gen AI tools heading in next 5 to 10 years? I totally understand that we don't have a crystal ball, but again, it is just a totally like a your opinionistic answer would be like, you know, if you can provide some sort of like a perspective on, I mean, where the Gen AI tools will be more influential, whether it's in personal or professional life or somewhere else, then that would be great. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Sam.
Yeah. So my question to you is like that, why do you see these Gen AI tools heading in the next few years? Like, for example, if I would ask you that this tool you've been using, ChatGPT and Suno, do you think it has potential to be a better tool, or it can do something else? What do you think about that? Like, just, yeah.
So I'm excited for the future of AI. Frankly, my own mental path towards perception of the value of AI has done a 180-degree shift in 5 years. 5 years ago, had you asked me, Sam, what is the greatest value of AI? I would respond to provide productivity enhancements through additional capability via highly tuned models, which was my perception of AI. Today, my recognition, and I've talked about this at length, is that AI, while having all of those capabilities, are also creative companions. And so now to your question of what do I anticipate next? In the context of creativity, the future has yet to be written. And there's so many applications which, frankly, we have yet to see, and I'm very excited for. One of the big ones is the input. Currently, in generative AI, the primary mode of interaction is via text input to the tool, which then provides a response. I believe where generative AI will soon be going is via either JPEG uploads or digital content uploads to AI. Or possibly including live or real-time photos. So, for example, imagine you're at an event and you're curious how many people are attending this event. And you use your smartphone and you do a quick video of the attendees of the event. And you ask AI, how many people are in attendance? And a tool such as a future version of ChatGPT or some other tool, I imagine, could very quickly provide you a very complete answer. And then, beyond the trivial question of how many people are in attendance, one question which I would want to know as a University of Illinois Alumni Club officer is, what is the demographics of this audience? And similarly, a generative AI tool with minimal training could provide that answer, all of which would be very helpful, not merely in the context of University of Illinois Alumni Association, way beyond that, in the context of politics, in the context just of our normal daily lives and answering questions of curiosity. So that's the future that I'm excited for. I don't know where the future of AI is going, and anybody who claims they do know the future is lying to you. So it's that very uncertainty that has me excited because I'm waiting for the next tool, curious what it might be, and hoping that I can find a use for it.
No, love that. I mean, I guess it's kind of a very predicament that we cannot predict the future of AI. I mean, it's told because so many things have been happening in the last few years that we are trying to kind of like, just clearing the backlog that all the tools that have been coming out in the last couple of years, we just started using it. As the models keep getting smarter and smarter, it's probably gonna unravel some other potentials that we haven't been explored. So it's kind of hard also for anyone to envision the AI journey for the next 5 to 10 years. But I guess we all kind of like part of the journey. We have to kind of like be open-minded. We have to make sure that we understand that AI is here to enhance our creative potential, not to replacing it. So as long as we keep using AI tools, you keep exploring new tools coming out on the market with our broad and even like a judicious mindset, then we should be able to kind of like see a better future with AI. Having said that, thanks, Mark, for joining me for this podcast episode. This has been an incredibly insightful conversation about real-world applications of AI in your creative work. So thank you for that.
Well, I'm glad I came, Sam, and wish you luck in your current location. And should you come back to Houston, you're always welcome to join us.
Thank you so much. To my listeners, join me in a few weeks for another exciting exploration of how technology is reshaping and also how AI is being impacting the other areas of professional and personal endeavor of people. There'll be another expert who'll be joining me very soon. Until then, keep creating, keep innovating, and please learn Gen AI and try to embrace the usefulness of Gen AI in your personal life. Thank you. Goodbye.